The show you are about to hear is entirely improvised.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I am esteemed Jane Austen scholar, Dr. Sam Patton. Thanks to diligent research and an audience suggestion, myself and Austentatious are proud to be bringing to life the world premiere of Jane's spine-chilling ghost story, Undead and Unwed. In part one, we met the beautiful but mysteriously small-headed Mrs. Palmer.
Sir, it is a well-known fact that I have a freakishly small head.
A local widow who set her sights on a young, handsome and incredibly stupid gravel inspector named Mr. Raven.
Miss Palmer, I came to check that your gravel was good.
However, all is not as seems with Mrs. Palmer. First, it was revealed by a servant, Bledlow, that she had been spreading scandalous rumours to discredit her rivals, the Bickerstaff sisters. And now, suspicion surrounds the real reason for the late Mr. Palmer's disappearance. Danger abounds for the sisters, the lovelorn Mr. Raven, and his highly charismatic friend, Barnaby Sykes, who has returned from London looking for fun. The time has come to confront Mrs. Palmer. So now we present to you part two of Undead and Unwed.
Strange for us to be invited to Miss Palmer's house, is it not, sister?
It is. I feel somewhat uncomfortable.
May I introduce Barnaby Sykes?
Barnaby Sykes!
Good evening.
Good evening to you!
Miss Palmer issued the invitation. She must have something planned.
I don't trust her.
I don't see why you wouldn't trust me.
It is the disembodied voice that puts me off.
She's not disembodied. She's over there. Good evening, Madam Barnaby Sykes, at your service. And you must be Miss Palmer. You have a beautiful home and more gravel than practically all of Cheapside contains.
Why, aren't you charming?
Thank you, yes.
Mr. Raven, you are a sight for sore eyes.
And your head seems as small as ever.
You know, I recently lost my husband.
Yes, we all know.
Yes, although we do not know the details of it.
Ah, and that is why I invite you here, of course. I thought a séance might be in order.
A séance?
A séance? Is that like a pastry?
Oh, Mr.
It's whatever you want it to be.
I want it to be a pastry.
If it is a pastry, we are on board.
Yes. I'll take two. Two delicious pastries.
I don't think it is a pastry, my old friend.
Now, please all take a seat and join hands. Now, there have been many aspersions cast about the village. People claim that my husband is not dead.
Yes, I have heard that, and I have spread it.
Your words are as margarine, spread so lightly.
Margarine?
Yes, I invented margarine, but enough of that.
Is that what you have on a séance?
You're very, very pretty, but you're not very bright, are you? Just like all my other husbands.
How many have you had?
Do you require any more equipment, madam?
Yes, Igor. Bring me the pot.
I will fetch the pot at once, madam.
Why are we having a pot for a séance?
Why, it contains my husband's ashes, of course.
What? Oh. The pot? Oh, you wanted the ash pot. I thought you had to go.
Staff are so difficult these days.
I address you, my late husband. Husband, if you ever loved me, I want you to speak to these guests of mine. Address them in the voice that is so clearly yours.
Get out! Save yourselves! Get out of her house! Save yourselves!
There's no need to be a bastard about it, Roy.
Oh, Miss Bickerstaff, are you all right?
Yes. spoke through me in a slightly higher voice than I was expecting. Miss Palmer, my sister and I will be taking our leave.
Yes, we will.
Very well. And I hope this will teach you to meddle in a widow's business. You are not welcome in this house anymore.
Well, my friend, I don't say she's not marriage material.
I'm sure you believe that little charade that Miss Bickerstaff carried out.
Raven, do you love this woman?
I think I do.
Well, of course, she is eccentric, yes, but you are eccentric. So I say go for it. You have my blessing. I'd be honored to be your best man, if you want.
It is a cold, cold day, is it not, Mary?
It is, Genevieve. I've sent Bledlow home.
It is ever since we visited that house. I have had a chill. You have had a chill. The house has had a chill.
And Bledlow's gone home.
Bledlow's gone home. She has put a curse on us or something. I am sure of it.
I hate to say it, but Bledlow never made it home. Poor man's children now orphans.
Miss Palmer.
I'm sorry, are you cold?
Yes.
You did not knock.
And you did not enter through the door.
Indeed, I did not. I did not have to enter through a door. And yes, lack of courtesy does come with a chill. You are the two things that are standing between me and happiness.
If you mean that we are trying to warn Mr. Raven off you, then we shall continue to do that for his safety.
Your continuing to warn him is contingent upon one thing. Do I let you out of this house or do I not? I'll give you a clue. It's the second one.
Of course, one of the things you need to get married, what is it?
Something blue?
No, not that.
Oh.
Another one, come on.
A ring.
No, we guessed that, but come on, more.
A bride-to-be.
A bride-to-be.
You need a best man.
What goes with the bride-to-be?
A ring, a wedding dress.
No,
dress.
Other people.
It's bridesmaids.
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 Got it. Yes?
Well, you need bridesmaids.
I need bridesmaids.
It's traditional. As we all know, it's traditional for the man to provide bridesmaids. Yes. Women don't really know each other, that's
yes,
the thing.
Of course.
Well, who have you got in mind?
The only two women I think I know are Ms. and Ms. Bickerstaff.
Well, then they'll have to be the bridesmaids.
Okay.
Well, let's go and get them.
You see, the advantage of having a long gravel drive is there's plenty of gravel to bury your enemies in.
This suddenly took a turn I was not expecting.
I don't think anybody was expecting that.
I have a question. I understand perfectly that you are threatening to kill us. You've made that very clear, but is that all that you are threatening? Because, as I say, I do not believe your former husband is dead.
Oh, he's dead. They're all dead.
Dead to you?
Dead to everyone. I'll tell you who's not dead. Me.
Do you just mean that you are alive?
Call it what you will. Alive, not dead, undead. Oh, yes, that's right. You see, some believe a woman can thrive through kindness, through a good match. I believe a woman can only thrive through killing everyone around her.
Miss Bickerstaff's?
Oh,
Miss Bickerstaff's.
Help! Help us, help!
My sweetheart, is that you?
Yes, Miss Palmer. Why, what are you doing here? I assumed that Miss Bickerstaff's invited you round for tea and then helpfully tied themselves to their own chairs.
Oh, why, of course.
Save yourself, Mr. Raven.
Run. Get away as fast as you can.
My sweetheart, they're upsetting me so much. They're talking nonsense, and you're the only one that has ever understood my gravel. Do me a favour. Put those bits of gravel in their mouths.
You would not do it, Mr. Raven. You are a good man.
Miss Palmer, if I'm to be clear, you want me to... You want me to feed them gravel. Something doesn't feel right,
darling,
about this.
Mr. Raven, I beg one thing of you.
Yes?
Before you do this dreadful and obscure thing...
I haven't agreed to it yet.
Reach down to your beloved's wrist and check her pulse.
No.
Miss Bickerstaff makes a very valid point. If you do have any feelings for me, surely those feelings reside in a heart, the same heart that would pump blood around a very living body. There's nothing there. Oh, no, that's your wrist. Oh. There's still nothing there.
That's right, Raven.
Barnaby Sykes!
I'm Barnaby Sykes and I've got a crossbow. I can't believe you fell for my story about coming back from London to have some fun.
You're the famous undead hunter. Barnaby Sykes.
Barnaby Sykes!
Yes,
no. I'm not that Barnaby Sykes. I'm this one. So, Miss Palmer, we meet at last.
And you think you can take me down, Sykes, do you?
Step no closer.
Careful, she has gravel!
Very well. Herbatti! Raven, she has bitten me.
No. Barnaby!
Barnaby Sykes is checking out.
No!
Yes!
No.
Barnaby!
Barnaby's off!
Barnaby, come back from the light.
Mr. Raven, I have some of the dense vodka in the corner. Quick, the medicine in the cauldron,
Will
sir.
It save his life?
Maybe, I don't know.
Hey, I've just got to do something else first.
Mr. Raven, watch yourself. She's coming closer.
My darling, you don't want to die like your friend, do you?
He's not going to die.
You either marry me now or you're done.
Oh, really?
Yes.
You don't know how thick that vodka is.
They say blood's thicker than water, but nothing's thicker than that vodka. I thought you loved me.
I did. And then I found out you were a vampire. Barnaby, wait! Just going to pour this thick vodka on your neck. It's going to sting while I rub it in. Come back to me, old boy.
Barnaby Sykes. Barnaby Sykes. Barnaby Sykes. Barnaby Sykes. Barnaby Sykes. Barnaby Sykes.
Barnaby Sykes.
Barnaby Sykes.
Barnaby Sykes.
Oh.
Oh, you were both so brave.
Oh, you must think me such a fool. First I thought she was a pigeon. Then I didn't recognize she was a vampire. And then she tied you up and caused all manner of grief.
Well, you have been very brave, and now that she has finally been vanquished, there is only one thing left to observe. She may have been undead, but we are all quite unwed.
You've been listening to Jane Austen's Undead and Unwed. Ostentatious are Amy Cook Hodgson, Graham Dixon, Charlotte Gittins, Carrie Ad Lloyd, Joseph Morpurgo, Andrew Hunter Murray, Daniel Niels Roberts, and Rachel Paris, with violin by Oliver Izod. The producer is John Harvey, and it's a Naked production for BBC Radio 4.